Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin. We are live a little bit after 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. We are into May 2020. And I'm sure Justin won't mind me sharing that it was Justin's birthday yesterday. So this is Justin's first year of being a different age than he was the day before yesterday. First day. And I want to wish you a very happy birthday, Justin, and give everybody else the opportunity to give you a happy birthday wish as well. We are here as usual in our lovely little space, and we have an amazing source by Amanda Palmer today, which Justin, I'm really grateful we haven't actually spoken about this before, and it was such a lovely thing to read, so ordinary and so real. And I find myself totally resonating with the questions she's asking and the way that she's saying it, and I'm so glad to be talking about this with you. And I'm just very glad to be here. Another hiccup by crook day for me. My computer seems to be not working, and I'm sure everybody's had that experience where you literally don't understand what's going on with your computer. And so that's where we're a little bit late. So apologies, we're a little bit late today. And I'm just glad to feel the readiness of settling in and being with you, Justin, and this incredible routine that we have, this practice that we have that happens every Sunday, and which, I don't know, somehow scoops me up each time in the round. And I'm really grateful to be here this morning.
Yeah, thank you, Lizzie. Good morning, everyone. It is indeed the day after my birthday. So it was such a beautiful day and strange day yesterday, celebrating a birthday under these conditions where it's not possible to be with any of the people who I love in person. So we made up for that, as you know, Lizzie, by doing lots of things over Zoom and finding creative ways of doing it. And it was very beautiful. And one of the things I noticed about myself yesterday was, I think it's the first year that I've really, really found a way to allow myself to feel properly loved by everyone and to just let myself feel happy without having some other strategy of pushing it away or having an alternative or some sort of get out clause from being really met and allowing myself to be met by all the people who I love and who love me. So that was very extraordinary. And I ended the day feeling very, very lucky, very grateful, very full of life. And that's actually quite new for me to feel that way around something that's got me in the center in that way. So it was a very special day and I'm feeling very, very happy. I loved what you said about our source, about that I brought this week by Amanda Palmer, because one of the things, I don't know if we've ever directly brought anything that Amanda's written. I don't think so, because she's mostly known for being a songwriter and performer of songs, but she does write a lot. And like us, she has got an online community which is really dedicated to being truthful about being human and finding ways of making community together. And in fact, I know for me that her work has been a big model and inspiration of things that we might do. So when I see her being the way that she is and doing what she does and writing what she writes, I'm very often deeply inspired to keep going, Lizzie, with our project of being in the world with these questions. And so I've wanted to bring something by Amanda for a long time. So if any of you haven't come across Amanda, you can just Google her and you'll find her. She's an amazing, amazing writer of very powerful songs. And when the world returns to the possibility that you can see people perform live, she's an amazing performer and talker about the life that she's been in the middle of. And so here's this source that she wrote very recently for the community of people who follow her. And I thought it was beautiful and important. And it's called How You Do Anything Is How You Do Everything. One of my favorite yoga teachers used to say, how you do anything is how you do everything. I feel like everyone I know is being given a surprise final exam in how to do anything and everything right now. I feel simultaneously completely upended and yet strangely more at peace than I've ever felt in my life. Paying attention to how I change a sheet, how I cut an apple, how I schedule my few precious minutes of work and screen time, how I give my child a bath is all a reflection of all the everythings I've ever done. How I started a career, how I broke up with a boyfriend, how I dealt with a miscarriage, it's all the same. How did I do it? Was I careful, mindless? Was I gentle with the things I was touching? Or was I careless, distracted, and in a self-important hurry at all costs? Slowing down is the hardest thing on earth because it forces you to face the scariest thing you will ever face, you. Fare you all well. I love you all so, so much. I know what so many of you are going through and growing through. I am with you. Amanda Palmer.
How you do anything is how you do everything. One of my favorite yoga teachers used to say, how you do anything is how you do everything. I feel like everyone I know is being given a surprise final exam in how to do anything and everything right now. I feel simultaneously completely upended and yet strangely more at peace than I ever have felt in my life. Paying attention to how I change a sheet, how I cut an apple, how I schedule my few precious minutes of work and screen time, and how I give my child a bath is all a reflection of all the everythings I've ever done. How I started a career, how I broke up with the boyfriend, how I dealt with a miscarriage. It's all the same. How did I do it? Was I careful, mindless? Was I gentle with the things I was touching? Or was I careless, distracted, and in a self-important hurry at all costs? Slowing down is the hardest thing on earth because it forces you to face the scariest thing you'll ever face, you. Fare you all well. I love you all so, so much. I know that I know what so many of you are going through and growing through. I'm with you, Amanda.
I remember first even considering the idea that how I do anything is how I do everything, Lizzie, and the first time that anyone ever introduced me to that, I remember feeling terribly embarrassed because it suddenly started to dawn on me something that I hadn't ever considered before, which is that people can see me, like the who I am is actually coming through all the time, and I had thought up until now, and I suppose sometimes I do think this as well, if I'm not feeling very awake or not paying attention or feeling very defensive, I might imagine that somehow that I'm able to keep myself away from the world. Like there's a private me that nobody knows, and then there's a public me, which is like a great big, I could put on a great big act, and then people wouldn't know who I really am, except it's completely not true, because what Amanda says, I think is spot on, is how I wash the dishes, how I find myself, like my willingness to take the time to wash the dishes or to get really, really irritated that somebody else isn't doing it properly or whatever it is. They are ways in which what right now I'm most actually committed to gets expressed again and again and again. And it's like, so that's one side of this. It's like the secret's out of the bag, and it's always out of the bag, even though I pretend it's not. So it was, I felt really, you mean really? You mean other people can see me? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And then subsequently, it's an incredible relief because it's taken me a while to get, but when I've been able to stop shaming myself because of just being human and having all kinds of foibles and complexities and all of that, that other people can see me is a great relief, because it starts to open up the possibility that I might just not have to try all the time to act my way, you know, to pretend. And And then that's the sort of the second part of what Amanda says, which is it's one of these things that's endlessly rich and goes in sort of loop after loop after loop, because even being of the way to be pretending so that other people can't see who I really am is the way I'm doing everything when I'm doing it. I'm now the pretending person. And just because I'm pretending doesn't mean that other people can't see I'm pretending. So we have this amazing tangled web of what we get up to and how we get up to it. And I really, really love Amanda's simple distinction about, am I doing this with care, whatever it is that I'm doing, or am I doing it in some distracted or covering up way? And in a way, that's the simplest, it's really the simplest distinction you could make about how we could be in the world. Like bringing our attention to things, being here in the experience, caring about what's happening, or somehow caring about something else, like the terrible things that will happen in the future, or what people will think of me, all of those kind of things. And the other part of this that I find so helpful is knowing that if it's true, which I think it is, that how I do everything, no, I'd say it the right way around, how I do anything is how I do everything, that also means that I could start by taking one thing and start to do that one thing in a different way. Just if I started with one thing, like washing the dishes is such a good one. Like if I just took the time to wash the dishes with real care and love and attention, then already I'm starting to be someone who does things in another way. And that's a great relief. Like it might actually be possible, I think it is possible, to practice our way into a different way by how we do stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's really kind of sticking with me, this whole kind of excruciation of realizing that everybody can see even when you think they can't. And that we're exuding ourselves even when we think we're hiding. It's all there. Everyone can see and we can't. And I remember someone said to me, it's like wearing a huge big like hairband with huge wearing a huge big hairband with huge big kind of wibbly bobbles on it. And you can't see that the bubbles are all wibbly, but everyone else can. And it's like, so it's a really, it's there, it's all on display. And it feels really, as you said, I totally get that feeling of embarrassment of like, oh, right. So even when I think I'm kind of, I'm doing something really skillful to kind of avoid being seen, that's part of what's being exuded and that's part of me. And there's no hiding, basically. Like the hiding thing is kind of being deluded that you can hide. It's like it's not possible in a way. So I really resonate with that. And also the thing that sprung to mind for me, Justin, was the saying that's wherever you go, there you are. And it feels like the same kind of thing. You know, wherever I arrive, the circumstance I throw myself in to make things better isn't going to make things better, because I'm the central tenet of it. And so I think that for me, that's a big pattern of thinking that if I just change this, it will be better. And then realizing that no, because wherever I go and however I arrange things, I'm there, and I'm the person to. I'm the element to address, not the circumstances and the things on the outside. It's this one that I need to look into and look at. And so I really get this thing that she says as well about, you know, the scariest thing you'll ever face is you. And, you know, I find that in, you know, Justin, you and I know about our sitting practice, which is just being somewhere and being still. And having our eyes open. Actually, one of my mantras is like, what is it like to be me? So I often just sit and go, well, what is it like to be me? And weirdly, that's a kind of every day that I might do that, it seems like an unusual question to be asking myself, even though I've asked it loads and loads of times, because something about me is so avoidable. Like the nature of meanness is so avoidable that even if I asked that question every hour, I would still feel like it was a new question. And so I feel very resonant with the scariest thing I'll ever face is you. And I also love what you're saying, just in the kind of empoweredness of realizing that we can start somewhere. Because if I start with the anything, it may be able to filter through to the everything. And also it just strikes me, you know, it's not a simple thing to shift this Justinness or this Lizziness that's exuding itself. And of course there's like the essential parts of us that don't, that's a changelessness about us, an essentialness, a givenness about us, which would be reported at your death as your birth. And then there's the parts of our reactivity, our distortions, our wounded places, our defensive behavior, our attacking behavior, all of those things that have the possibility of us consciously interacting with them to be able to do something different next time. And I always feel very enhopened by that, because I think so much of the time it's like, oh my God, I'm doing the same thing again. You know, this, the way I do everything is the way I do everything. Like, oh my, so for me, it's like, oh my God, I'm being like half baked again. And it's just springing to mind as well, the thing about giving birth to a baby is that you can't be half baked about it. So I was really, really afraid, because I was like, oh, I can't be half baked about this. I can't just kind of do it, but not really do it. It's like, you can't half birth a baby. You can't like do it in a shoddy manner or do it halfway. It's like the baby's either born or not born, but it can't be not born, so it has to be born, therefore it has to be a complete process. And I feel like that's been a gift for me, because it shows me that I'm capable of fully doing something completely wholeheartedly, unreservedly. And of course that might be something that people see about me already, but I find that really hard to see about myself. And yet birth was the gift to me to say, no, no, that's possible for you, to see that in yourself even, because it was indisputable. And I feel very kind of hopeful that if there's one thing that can give us the gift of seeing that we could do something with our consciousness more differently to how we've always done things, it's translatable and transferable and seepable into all of the other things. So the way I give birth to a baby could be the way I do the washing up. Or the way I give birth to a baby could be the way that I bath and clothe my baby, or cook dinner, or put the bins out. I've got that. Oh, that's possible to be that way. So I can bring that part of me, that sense of myself, to other things. And I think that's what you could call a practice, you know, something that allows us to draw consciously into our awareness a way of being that is less usual for us, so that more can be born in our daily lives, in our interactions with others, than is usually present given our habitual way of being in the world.
I love this way of talking about it, Lizzie, that you have, that it's not, I could hear in what you were saying that you weren't talking about the process of somehow trying to become someone else, but it's really when you're talking about avoiding ourselves and how scary it is to be in touch with ourselves, really what you're talking about is finding a way back to ourselves. So it's a turning, to borrow the title of this whole project we're in, it's a turning towards ourselves, which is also a turning towards life at the same time. And I was thinking whilst you were talking about it, how when I first took up a sitting meditation practice, which you talked about, and for anyone who doesn't know, like you were saying, sitting meditation practice isn't chanting a mantra or concentrating on something else. It's simply the practice of sitting very still and allowing yourself to be here with yourself for a while. Remember, first of all, how frightening it was. I would want to bounce out of it after like 2 seconds. But also I started to notice things like I had the radio on in the house all the time when I was on my own, which was a way I started to find out by watching that. Oh, I'm just trying to run away from myself all the time. Like, as long as I've got someone else's voice rather than my own voice, that would be better. So I think that this whole topic is about how we come back more closely into, more faithful to the essential something that we always were from the moment we arrived and will be all the way through. And that means that we have a chance to give up all of the, you know, progressively give up all of the ways that we're trying to flee and all the ways we're trying to pretend and all the things that I said that was a bit of a shock to find out that people could see through. And the thing about having other people who can see through is that there are sometimes people who'll see what they most see is sort of the escape pattern we're in. And that's important, even though it can be quite squirmy for someone to say. I remember someone very important in my life saying to me, if only you weren't so self-judgmental all the time. Mm. I was like, what? Me? How dare you? Except it was really true. But we also really helps when we have people who can see the other side. And if we're lucky enough to have anybody else in our life, who'll also see what we're really up to beyond all of that. Because when you talk about yourself being, finding that by giving birth to Vespa, there was a way that you could be all in. And I think to myself, yeah, you're one of the most all in people I know, that you're really, that's your project, is being all in. Like, I know that that's what you're up to. And it's, I think it really helps to find both a way to see the escape, like the escape plan, and a way that people can name the real goodness that we are. That's helpful. But also, I agree with you that sometimes we have experiences which show us something about ourselves that we didn't really know. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're saying, what you learned by the inescapability of giving birth, and then you find out that you're, oh my goodness, I can be this way is here as well. And then you can start to let that way come in step by step by how you practice something else, maybe something very simple. Mm. And I found out something very important about myself, sort of very similar to that, quite a long time ago, by taking up a practice. So I took up the practice of running, and I was starting to see about myself ways in which I would, it's kind of like the having to listen to the radio. I was starting to get onto, there's something that I'm running from all the time. And it was mostly certain kinds of feeling, and that's what has me bounce off into Amanda's distinction about doing things sort of half carelessly and all that. And I'd been running along a flat path for a long time, and there was a hill always that I'd run past that went up one side. And one day I decided that in the midst of the running practice, I was going to see if I could be somebody, could find that part of me that would run up the hill and keep going, even though I didn't really want to and it was uncomfortable. And I started over time to learn to do the difficult running up the hill and feeling all the feelings of running up the hill. And as I started to do that, I noticed that it started to change the way I could do other things too. So it's almost like the same thing as you're saying about giving birth, but almost in reverse. In the midst of a practice, I started to see a possibility for myself that I could practice there that I'd never seen before. And that, I think, was what gave birth in me. So it's really interesting seeing that there's a giving birth thing, that the language that I find myself coming into very strongly now from what you said, started to give birth in me to the possibility that I might come at many, many things in life that were not what I wanted in a much more welcoming way. And that's been part of the step back towards myself as well, towards paying a different kind of attention than the one I might otherwise pay. So I'm just really struck that sort of events that we go through and how what we learn from being in the event, like giving birth or being in lockdown or being ill or, you know, whatever it is, falling in love, can teach us all of this that we can then take. But also, if we'll have any kind of practice in our life, we discover things in the practice that we can then take the other way. And they all do the same thing. which is they help us to address the how we do everything thing that we're talking
about. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just got this image of like when I'm the person who won't even try running up the hill, it's like I'm living like a sliver of what's possible in that moment. And somehow you're, okay, I'm going to try and run up the hill and feel all the feelings of what it's like, and it might hurt and you don't want to and you're annoyed because there is a hill in the first place, whatever all of that stuff is. To be conscious and to go, okay, well, I'm going to use this. I'm going to take this as an opportunity to grow. It's like the sliver of life that we were able to be in kind of grows into a much bigger space. And we get to learn something rather than just be on the hamster wheel of our own personality. And it's really, in a way, it's like a no-brainer that that's what a human being wants for their life. That we all want that. We want a full life. We if we were asked, we wouldn't say, oh, no, I just want to have just like a little teeny, teeny life. Thank you very much. Like most of us would say, no, I'm here. I want to live. I think there's a part of everyone that wants to live, that wants to be here in a full way. And that when we sign up to being human, we want to be full. Like fullness and fulfillment is a beautiful thing. And yet there are so many of our strategies that go against that. And then even when we're faced, as your friend said to you, you know, Justin, you're really self, you know, harsh on yourself or something, we get kind of shrunken into like, no, that's not what I am. And yet it's an invitation. Like all of us are invitations to one another to step into further realms of ourselves. If we could be undefended, if we could be more open, if we could be gentle with ourselves as to see things as an invitation rather than as a criticism or an attack. And I know that I find that really difficult, like especially with my husband. I always think that I'm being criticized for things, and in a way I am. Like there's a definite domestic clash about dishwashers, which I always talk about, which is to do with preferences and stuff. But I can feel my erring on the side of taking it always as criticism rather than learning. And the other day, I actually loaded the dishwasher the way that Matthew wanted me to load the dishwasher, as in I clumped cutlery together, which probably is obvious to you because you might probably be a good dishwasher loader. But normally my habitual self loads the dishwasher with like everything all higgledy-piggledy. I just do it as it comes out of the sink. But Matthew orders it so that then when you get it out, you just pick up all the forks and put them in and then pick up all of them. Anyway, I did that for the first time the other day. And then when I emptied the dishwasher, I was like, oh, this is amazing. I can actually just get the clump of forks, and how satisfying. They all just clump together and go in the drawer. And it's a stupid example because it's so mundane. But I think this is what Amanda Palmer's saying. It's like the way you do anything is the way you do everything. So the dishwasher is like a metaphor for so much. And at the moment, by the way, it seems that our dishwasher is the main thing that I interact with in my life, because we're all here all the time and there's no let up on the domesticness. And it feels like we can make anything that gift of expanding ourselves into something more than our small, tight pattern of this is the way I want to do things and this is the only way I'm doing things. And if we could give our relationships and the other people in our lives the permission internally just to be the person who helps us expand, to be the other that helps us grow, it's so different than trying to maintain the position I am and not letting anyone affect me and not letting anybody change me. And I'm sure that's the position that my husband would accuse me of, by the way. Don't you tell me how to load the dishwasher differently. But then when I have a go, I'm like, oh, yeah, that feels freer. It feels like there's more liberation in it rather than me just defending the way that I want to do things all the time.
One of the reasons, Lizzie, why I so love Amanda's line that you brought attention to, that slowing down is the hardest thing on earth, because then we have to face the scariest thing we'll ever face. Because I think that even can feel this in myself around things like dishwashers, that moment where somebody else says, please load the dishwasher another way, and then that we have to get onto, I have to get onto, I've been very attached to the way that I load the dishwasher and very sure that I'm right. And it's very, very painful to have you tell me that there's another way, because then I have to face my own shame about not having understood, or my own shame about having somehow been caught up in my own self-centeredness so that I'm not taking care of something that's shared domain with you, or my own realization that I've not been paying attention, really, that I've been more interested in sort of defending myself than I have. All of that on the side, you know, when Amanda says, was I careless or an important hurry at all costs, in order to let that go so that we have another way, we get in contact with all kinds of stuff about ourselves that can often be really hard, even over something like a dishwasher. And so it can feel easier to stay in this, leave me alone, I'll load the dishwasher my own way, don't you dare tell me about the dishwasher, that, because it's safer than the really deep, open, vulnerable feeling of maybe somebody else can see that I don't have it all together. Maybe someone else can see that all of that we have to face right in that moment, even just about the order that we put the forks in. And for me with a dishwasher, it's not, you know, it's not the forks, it's that I didn't rinse the plates properly. Because I'm with the, you know, I'm onto the loading the cutlery in a particular way so I can get it out. But it doesn't matter what it is. The point is that's so beautiful about Amanda's writing is that we face that again and again and again. So every moment can be a moment where we start to learn how to face our own realness and try out putting the things in the dishwasher in another way and meeting another person. And in the process of meeting the other person, we also start to meet ourselves more genuinely. So we keep on, and it's funny, I mean, in a way it's just hilarious, and it's also tragic that even how we load the dishwasher can be a place in which we're holding ourselves in this very, very small life that you were talking about, instead of the big life of let's be contactful with one another, let's consider that there are lots of ways of doing this, let's hang out in the shame and the worry and the uncertainty and the delight of learning that there's another way. I think it's amazing to learn that there's another way to load the dishwasher, the way, you know, which makes everything easier and navigate our different, all of that, it's right there in that tiny moment. Which is both amazing and I think very, to use the word that you use very often, I just think so beautiful, is also very enopening, because it means that we can just take one, like what happens if you just take one place and say, okay, around this dishwasher, I'm not going to address every place that I have shame and every place that I have grief and every place that I get triggered and everything, but with the dishwasher, I'm going to practice feeling what's here, being open, and also letting myself be influenced and seen and changed by others if I happen to have other people around, if that's the place that I interact with other people. And that's really enopening, because starting in the one place can then also, like we've been saying, can gradually find its way out into everywhere. Once I can do that with a dishwasher, I might be able to do that with finances, or I might be able to do that with talking about what we really want, or I might be able to do that in how I interact with my friends, or, you know, we could just take it in every direction.
Yeah, it is really enopening. And it also just, yeah, it points to how hard it is too. Mm-hmm. You know, just the relaxation in the moment of feeling really reactive is so hard. And it's just reminding me, yesterday I felt really, really annoyed, and I thought, instead of talking about why I was annoyed, I was just going to stay with the fact that I was annoyed. So I just kept repeating again and again, I'm really annoyed, I'm really annoyed, I'm really annoyed, I'm really annoyed. And it was like I was trying an experiment to just stay with what my experience was, rather than to talk about what was happening that was annoying me. And it was an interesting process in itself, because it turned into laughter and a very deep joy that somehow miraculously emerged out of multiple. I cooked us the most disgusting breakfast we'd ever had. And poor Matthew was chewing and couldn't really swallow it very well because it was so dry. And it had all gone wrong. And I don't even know how I ruined this breakfast anyway. And it ended up with like a hilarity moment that I don't think either of us will ever forget in our whole lives. But it started out with like loads and loads of angst. And I'm saying this because I'm recognizing just how hard, it felt impossible to me in that moment to do anything else other than just stay right where I was. And in a way, that's important to fully inhabit the experience. But the shift into something else, when we're so mostly, I think, unconsciously gripped by the reaction, is so difficult. And so I feel like it's also very iterative, what we're talking about. Like we can, that's the gift, I guess, in one way of lockdown right now, is that there is again and again and again and again. Like it's reminding me of that song, Justin, that sometimes we play by the Pusies, There's Another Train, which then the lyrics are, there's another train, there always is, maybe the next one is yours. And I feel like that's one of the opportunities of this time, is that whatever our circumstances are, whoever we're with, we have multiple gifted times to address these parts of ourselves again and again and again and again, because we are doing the thing that Amanda's saying. We are with ourselves. And the domestic life is like a plethora of opportunities in a repeated fashion to see what's actually going on. And for me, it's uncovering so much of my relationship to being myself and what my reactions are. And I know that there will be very many more chances to see the thing I saw yesterday about being really, really, really annoyed and feeling, I don't know if I was angry, I was like intensely irritated. And I'm sure that that's just gonna come again and again when certain things happen, when you've been basically in the same house as, for me, two human beings for, I'm not even counting how long it is, but it's actually quite a long time now that we've just been doing this. And it's like Groundhog Day, repeat repetition, there's another time we're doing this and it's the same thing again. And there's something really soothing about that, like Amanda's saying, I feel really, really held by the boundaries, which is I don't really have a choice to do 100 different things and which one am I going to choose to do today. I have very limited choice of what to do, and therefore the same thing happens many times. And somehow I feel really held by that, as at the same time as feeling a lot of grief about that. But the gift of it is, if I choose to see it that way, is that there's just an endless string of repeated opportunities to see what's happening and to muster. Sometimes it's like mustering a strength to walk back in the room, or to say with like gritted teeth, I'm not right. There is another way. I'm not the only definition of, my definition is not the only way of how the dishwasher needs to be loaded, but just kind of creak the door open to see that there's something more than what's happening right now. And I can just keep doing my best to see what I can do to keep that door open, because there's so many opportunities to see.
And so beautifully said, Lizzie. Such an invitation to this time as well. And I've been keeping track of the time, and who knows how long we've actually been going for because of all of our kerfuffles and interruptions. So I think it must be time for us to close for this week, right there at that point, an invitation into what might be possible in the coming weeks for all of us. So I want to say thank you to all of you, to you, Lizzie, and to all of you for being with us. It's a great gift that we can travel this journey together, whether you're watching us live or listening on the podcast or however you're finding us. And we're really glad we're all in this together. Yeah. And we'll, all being well, we'll be back next week.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody. See you next week.
Bye-bye.